So tonight we're going to talk about the kind of the last fruit that I could find described. And this one is a little bit more vague than some of the others that we've talked about, like contentment and sharing with others and those kinds of fruits. Those are pretty specific, so they're fairly easy to understand. Tonight, it's the last fruit, and I hate to say this, I kept putting it off because I was trying to figure it out. And I'm not sure that I have it figured out, but it's something that we need to think about and kind of put it into the list and continue to think about it. And as we think about it, maybe it'll become clearer. So we'll talk about that tonight. And then I think last week or next week will be the last week of this discussion. And we're going to talk about how God prunes us so that we can bear more fruit. And give that some thought before next week. Tonight, let's look at Hebrews 13 at verse 15. Do you have that one, Susie? Hebrews 13 at verse 15? You're muted, Susie, if you can hear me.
I'm sorry. I don't have my Bible right here. It's help.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
That's okay. Jane, do you have your Bible with you right there? Hebrews 13 at verse 15.
Hang on just a second here. Oh, no.
Yeah, Hebrews 13:15.
There we go. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of the lips that give thanks to his name.
Okay. What are your thoughts as you read that? You know, how is this a fruit that we bear for Jesus? Any ideas?
Muted myself again. Maybe that this means that that we should be continually praising God and letting people hear us praise God all the time.
Okay.
And through prayer, however we can express our gratitude and bringing people to God. That's kind of what I see.
Any other thoughts?
I think that covers it. Yeah, I think that covers it. The more we can vocally praise him, then other people are going to hear that.
Okay. So, you mentioned prayer, Jane. How else? What other activities could we engage in that would be a sacrifice of praise?
Our singing.
Okay. not just in our assemblies, but singing at other times. Any other thoughts?
I don't know. I praise him when I pray.
Okay. Absolutely. Praise is a part of prayer.
I mean, and sometimes I pray out loud, but most of the time I pray to myself. But yeah.
Okay.
The sacrifice part, though, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well,
how to explain that.
Okay. We'll get to that, and we'll kind of talk about that a little bit. But what about the things that we say? And I'm not thinking about when we're praying or when we're talking to somebody specifically about the Bible, but how does what we say just in general become a sacrifice of praise to God?
Well, just by being careful with our speech and not saying things that are disrespectful to God or anything like that.
Okay.
Watch our language.
Okay.
Maybe also our speech and how we interact with other people. We don't say mean things. We don't swear. And we are cordial, thanking people.
Okay.
Things like that.
Okay. The thing that came to mind when I read this was watching our language when we're online.
Oh.
When we're posting things that are on Facebook or other places.
Yes, because I open up Facebook and here's, and I delete that.
Yeah.
There's just no place for that. That isn't necessary. I remember Jerry Bassett says, when you talk like that, it just shows your intelligence. In other words, you don't have anything.
Well, I was chastised because this guy called the church building. And I mean, he was going on and on and just profanity all over the place. And he said, well, what do you think about that? And I said, well, obviously, you're trying to express yourself forcefully. And equally obviously, you don't have the words to use. And so he got mad. And that was just me being snotty back. And I didn't need to do that. But.
Well, maybe, but there's no sense in him talking to you like that. I remember working at the school, and I was in the attendance office, and a guy just ripped me up one side and down the other, cussing and everything, because I had to call home and tell him that his son wasn't in class. And,
yeah.
You know, and I either was crying on the phone or trying to get them to have patience with their child and don't quit loving them and keep and all that. And I was just like this, and Mrs. Geddes comes over and she said, what's going on? And I went like this. She said, hang up! I was just mad.
Well, you know, Kim, because she was in HR, and had to be in charge of the things that were going on with personnel at City Hall, she would frequently have to go down and tell people who were customers just berating some poor clerk. And she said, you can't talk to my clerks that way. You must have respect. You can disagree, but you must be respectful. And if you're going to continue that way, I'm going to call the police and have you escorted out. So she was in a position where she could do something about it. A lot of times there's not anything we can do about it. When I was a school psych, there was this he was an eighth grader who just, I mean, turned the air blue. He cussed out his teacher something fierce. So she sends him down to my office. And I said, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to call your mom on the phone, and you can't tell her who you are. I'm not going to tell her who you are. but you must repeat verbatim what you said to that teacher. Oh, he started crying. His mom was on the school board. That was what was so funny. And she had a pretty foul mouth too. So he said it. I held the phone up and he cussed his mom out. And I had the phone pointed at him and I could hear his mom yelling at him. And I think when we deal with what we post online, sometimes we feel anonymous and we feel like we can say things that we wouldn't ever say to anybody just because it's online and we can kind of hide behind posting stuff online. But or
it comes up with your name right there, right? Well, on Facebook. I'm not on any of those other ones.
So. Yeah, but people get away with trying to repost what somebody else said. You know, I didn't say it, but
I think I repost is good stuff.
And it's not just profanity, it's imputing the motives of other people unfairly. And it got really bad during the election cycle. I was called everything under the sun by people that disagree with me. And I, by the same token, I have some very good friends with whom I disagree, and they didn't treat each other that way.
And when I read posts like that, I just went on, just ignored them or just hit the X button. I don't respond to that because I'm not going to argue on Facebook about politics.
Yeah,
I don't even want to argue on Facebook.
So if we think of our speech as being a sacrifice of praise, I think that goes a long way.
Well, another thing is how you use your tone of voice.
Oh, sure.
You know, that can really convey, even if you weren't intending to say anything derogatory, if you said it in a tone of voice, it would come out that way. So we have to watch that too.
Good point. Excellent point. And parents have to be aware of that when they're talking to their kids. What you did may have been really dumb, but it probably isn't the time to tell you that what you did was really dumb.
Exactly.
Because you're already hurt. That may be a discussion that you have later, but we have to be very careful. So
we have to remember that our speech is an extension of our heart.
Okay. Good point.
What's in our heart and we say it, we can't take it back.
Yeah, that's a good point. And like James said, the tongue is a little member, but it sets on fire a world of hurt. And I have said things that I would give anything to have back.
Me too. We all.
And we're, it is an expression of what's in our heart. It's just, we just need to be careful how we use language. So how is it a sacrifice? Because when we think of sacrifice, we think of something that costs me something.
Well, it could cost you a friendship. It could cost you people's respect for you.
Okay.
I mean, the language thing. If you were gossiping or lying, that could cost you your reputation.
Okay.
I don't know if that's what you were thinking.
But how is praise and being careful with our language, how can that be a sacrifice for us?
Well, it takes a lot of determination, a lot of thinking before you speak. But I don't know what you're thinking.
That's pretty much what I'm thinking. Because sometimes you really want to say it. And I think I could even say sometimes something needs to be said.
Yes. But you can say it, you can say it in a kinder way. That doesn't, not, might not be what you're thinking, but you have to count to 10 and then...
Yeah, like somebody said, if you write an angry email in response to somebody, save it in your inbox until tomorrow, read it again, and then delete it.
Exactly.
Yeah. I do better. I do a lot better when I just walk away from the argument.
Me too.
And let everything settle down and give me time to capture my thoughts.
Exactly.
So I can express them appropriately. Right. So in that way, it is a sacrifice.
It took me a long time to learn that.
Oh well, I learned it. I don't always do it. That's the problem. And I think we tend to be not as careful with our language when we're dealing with the people that are closest to us. You know, I probably am more circumspect with my language when I'm teaching or when I'm preaching. And when it's just Kim and I at home, I'm not as careful. And that's a bad thing. That's where I ought to be probably most careful.
Well, I was a cusser before I became a Christian, and I really cleaned up my act. So,
okay.
But it wasn't pretty. It was ugly. But, I mean, it came so easily. I can't believe it, but I was.
But I know how easily it slips out, and that's not what's in your heart.
No.
And so.
And luckily, I'm not bragging because I have a lot of things to make up for, but luckily I don't talk like that.
That's a sacrifice that you made. And it's sacrificing your will to God and saying, I can't be this way.
Put control on yourself.
Yes, exactly.
That's true. That's true.
But I think we have to do that with our thoughts, too.
Yes.
You know, I mean, sometimes things, you know, I attribute it to the devil, but sometimes things go through my mind and I go, where did that come from?
Yeah.
It's ugly.
Same thing.
One time I said something or thought something, and I said to Linda Wessel, I said, where did that come from? And she said, your former life. I thought, okay, maybe.
Well,
that could be.
So that's where those kinds of things come from. It's hard to put that to death and keep it dead.
Well, and, you know, and TV doesn't help.
Sure.
You hear things on TV or in movies or whatever, and sometimes it just sticks there.
And it's probably not helpful to laugh at some of the jokes we laugh at.
Right.
It's just, that's not a sacrifice of praise. And I will say, in terms of our prayers, we don't engage in as much praise as we do requests. And that's one of the things that we've tried to be very careful about on Monday nights when we pray. We always start with praise for God. And, you know, now it's that long and the request list is that long. I know that, but I think it's important to reinforce that we need to praise God. And sometimes don't ask for anything.
Just be thankful.
Yeah, just be thankful. And don't disguise thankfulness as requesting something.
Right.
Because that's easy to do, too. It's continually offered. And the research that I did on this, I mentioned a statement that I found. This was in Matthew Henry's commentary on this particular passage. And he talked about how the Jews had two different kinds of offerings. They had offerings that they made for sin. Let me get that up here so everybody can see this. Oh, didn't mean to do that.
Dean, it just seems to me like it's hard to think of it with the word sacrifice, because it just, it doesn't really feel like a sacrifice to me when it's what, what I want to do. And I guess maybe there's more meaning to sacrifice than what I'm thinking, but.
Well, sure. I think you're right. There is a sense in which we don't think of it as a sacrifice because, like Lenny mentioned, we turn our heart to God, and the more we turn it to God, the more this just seems like the way that we ought to speak.
Right.
And you're right, but I think there is still a sacrifice that's involved here, because we're not going to say some of the things that come to us in anger. We're not going to lash out in anger. And giving that up is a sacrifice.
But too, in my mind, it's the word sacrifice is kind of, because I feel like when I do control it, that God helps me control it.
Okay.
You know, I always say thank you, Lord, you know, because
that's true. It's a good point. And that gets back to how he starts this passage. Through Jesus. Everything gets back to Jesus. It's not by virtue of what I can do, but it's relying on Jesus to help me to do this. Let me look at what I found from, this is Matthew Henry quoting a relatively unknown rabbi, Jewish rabbi, who had a pretty good understanding of the Messiah, interestingly. He wrote around, I'm trying to remember when he wrote this, and I can't. I should be able to remember. It was prior to Jesus coming, okay? But this rabbi talked about how there are two kinds of offerings. There's a sin offering, and that's what we always think, that's the blood. That's what wipes away sin, okay? And then there's the peace offering, which didn't have anything to do with sin. It was just an offering that we made out of thanksgiving to God. Not related to the fact that he took away our sins. And I think that's a good way to think about this. Think about the peace offering that they made. Rabbi described it this way. He said it's the thankful acknowledgement for favors received or that might have been connected with vows in order to further blessings that might be obtained, or they were brought voluntarily as a means to continue themselves in the friendship and favor of God. So, when we don't think about sacrifices in the Old Testament often in terms of the thank offerings that they made. That was the stuff that was not burned. Okay. But the blood sacrifice we think about a lot because that's Jesus. And this Jewish rabbi made a good point that the sin offering has been made one time. It's not in this reading. But the sin offering has been made one time. That was made by Jesus. but the thank offering we make continually. And we continually get to take advantage of the blood offering, but the blood offering was made one time for all time. And this is this thank offering or peace offering or the sacrifice of praise, that's something that we get to do every day, over and over again. Okay? So that kind of helped me to try to understand the concept of how it was done continually. And it helps me to understand the idea of sacrifice, because it's easy to slip into the thought process that says, God had to forgive my sins, I couldn't do that. But I worked in order to make money to provide for my family. That was me.
I remember hearing on the radio one day, they were talking about God, and the lady said, well, I've never seen him pay for my rent. And I thought, oh, lady.
Well, but it is easy to think, to slip into the thought process that's like the farmer who said, you know, you should have seen that field when God was taking care of it. Before I started taking care of it. I started taking care of it, and it brings a good crop. When God had it, all it was a bunch of weeds.
I don't think that's a good thing to say.
I don't think it's a good thing to say either, but it's easy to slip into that. It's easy to start thinking that way. And most people would say, that this is a statement in Hebrews that's borrowed from Hosea 14. And some translations talk about it. In fact, this is the New International Translation. He says, take with you words and turn to the Lord, say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. And then he says, so we will render the calves of our lips. And I think that's a kind of an oblique way of saying our words are going to be our sacrifices to you. That's in Hosea 14.
Yeah, all it says on mine is, for we will offer the sacrifice of our lips, but it doesn't say the calves of them.
Yeah.
That's a funny thing.
Yeah, I think there's value in understanding figures of speech because it kind of arrests your attention.
Yeah.
You would never think of your lips as being calves. And so when you see that, the calves of our lips, you go, what's he talking about?
Yeah, what is he
talking about? I have it's sacrifice.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Because when they thought about calves, they thought about sacrifices.
Oh, okay.
So that's why he used that language.
They present the fruit of our lips.
The fruit of our lips.
Mm-hmm.
So let's look at 1 Peter 2, and let's read verses 1 through 5. And this is, I think, getting back to the thought that we've been presenting. It's not just words. It's everything about the way that we live. So it's our words and our actions. Let's see. Di, have you got that?
I thought I did, but I hadn't.
First Peter 2, verse 1.
Okay. Therefore, putting aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that by it you may grow in respect to salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. And coming to him as to a living stone rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I didn't read that exactly.
No, that's right. So this is the way that we offer a spiritual sacrifice to God. Uh-oh. I thought you didn't like that page,
no.
So you ripped it out.
Well, my Bible's just falling apart. You'd think I was a really good Bible student. Well, I think it's because I read it so well. But it's hard to get a new Bible because you've got all these notes in here.
Yes, it is.
But I need one. And Kirsten needs one, too. She needs one with more information.
Yeah, well, I had a good friend who was a preacher. He always carried one of those American Bible Society Bibles that you can buy for $2.
Oh.
And I asked him why one time. He said, because I wear them out.
Oh. Were they Old Testament and New Testament?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I wear them out, and I can, if it costs me $2, I'm okay with just throwing it away.
Right.
And I get a new one.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think this idea of offering spiritual sacrifices to God, that's a concept that we don't address as often as we should. We sometimes think about what we sing, we think about what we teach, we think about teaching other people, we talk about different things like avoiding sin, and yes, that's a spiritual sacrifice, but there's a spiritual sacrifice in just making ourselves what God wants us to be. And I think if you kind of get into that mindset, then you begin to understand what Jesus was saying in the garden. If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But if it's not possible, your will, not mine, be done. And at that point, that it's easy to see how what he was doing was a sacrifice. But when we surrender our will to God, we are making a sacrifice. And I think that's what he's talking about, making this sacrifice. So look at Romans 12. And I think I doubt that there's any of us that think that this is a passage that talks about what happens in assemblies. Now, it does describe what happens in assemblies, but that's not the thrust of the passage. If this is a passage that talks about everything about your life, then yes, it includes what you do in assemblies, but it includes everything about your life. So, let's see. Faye, do you have Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2?
Yes, I do. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect.
Okay. So how do you see this statement related to a spiritual sacrifice of praise?
I've been thinking during your discussion that there's an underlying issue under all of this, and that would be self-control. And self-control in connection with the Holy Spirit that you have in you.
Okay.
Would be you're doing this because God gave you the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and He died for you. And you'll be able to do it and have self-control in everything you do.
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting concept, Faye, that the self-control is a function not of myself, but it's yielding myself to the leadership of the Spirit.
Yes. That's my thought. That's all.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. And when he says this is your true and proper worship, it's not, this is what you're supposed to be doing on Sunday or in assemblies. This is what you are. This is what you do every day. And yes, it's going to characterize you on Sunday, but in the same way that it characterizes you on Monday.
True. I think people notice, because you might be with someone who, for example, swears a lot, but when that person is with you, they don't swear at all.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. And I'm sure you've seen that happen.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That's a testimony to us bearing fruit for God. We don't always think about how important that is.
Or,
just bearing that fruit.
A person does say something in front of you and then apologizes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I was at a family gathering of my daughters, and my granddaughter's husband let a word slip one time, and they all said, "Aston." It's just like, you know, Grandma's here, you don't talk like that.
Well, that's okay to be that kind of a person.
Yeah.
And that is our spiritual sacrifice of worship. Okay? Let's just look at a couple more statements. This is Psalms 50. And it's a statement that's made in verse 14, and then it's repeated almost verbatim again in verse 23 of Psalms 50. He says, offer unto God thanksgiving. And I think that's what needs to characterize us. We're always being thankful to God. Another passage, Psalms 141, and this time it's verse 2. And this is David, and of course he's talking about himself. He says, let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So, David is saying, accept my willing submission to your leadership, just like you accept the evening sacrifice or the morning sacrifice that they made. And then one last passage along this same line, Philippians 1, at verse 11. He says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. So yes, you be filled with the fruits of righteousness, which comes from Jesus. It's not something that you generate within yourself. It comes through Jesus, and that's the way Hebrews 13 at verse 15 begins. Through Jesus, everything gets back to Him. So, when James says, you control the tongue, through Jesus. It's not that I'm so good that I can control my tongue and refrain from profanity. That's not it. So I think it's important that we see that that the fruit of righteousness comes through Jesus. And then there is this statement in Ezra. This is a statement about Ezra himself, and I think it kind of looks at his overall perspective on things. And the reason that I say that is because of the way it begins. Ezra had devoted himself. He made this his life goal. He devoted himself to doing this, to the study of and observance of the law of God, of the law of the Lord, and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel. Now that's the way that it manifested itself, but he devoted himself to the Lord. And that it's kind of like the statement that Paul made about some of the early Christians, that they had given to the relief of the needy saints because they gave themselves to the Lord first. Okay. Other thoughts, conclusions that we can draw. Was that you, Susie?
No, I didn't say anything this time.
Okay. So like I say, this is not as specific as some of the other things we've talked about. It's a little broader, a little, I don't want to use the word vague, but it's very broad. And I think that's the way that we have to kind of conclude this. Everything about us is a sacrifice of praise to God. And then his concluding statement in Hebrews 13 is that this is something with which God is pleased. And I think that's where we'll end it this evening. Other thoughts, comments?
Well, you wouldn't know how to do any of this if you didn't study your Bible.
Well, that's true. That's where we learn what God has done, and reflecting on everything that God has done, we like Moses told the children of Israel in Deuteronomy, speak of it when you're in the way. Speak of it when you're in your house. When you sit down to dinner, have this kind of conversation. It needs to be a natural sort of thing that we do. And it probably should be the first thing that we discuss. And after that, we'll get on to the matters of the day. Okay.